And wasn't that beautiful? And I want to just say thank you to all the volunteers. Can we clap our hand for all the volunteers that helped out? Did such a beautiful job. Man, we fed a lot of people and just had a great, great time. It was just one of the nicest nights that we could ever imagine. It was hot. Man, it was hot. I know some people went home a little heat exhaustion, but what?
A little sweaty.
A little sweaty. We used to call Erin, before she was married, Sweaty Vendetti. I don't know. It just came to me, but it was great. She's up here today because we want to say happy birthday to Mr. Guy Young today. Guy Young, is it today or tomorrow, Carol? Because I know he won't respond to me. Is it today or tomorrow? His actual birthday is when? 15? What's today? You know, I've been having people tell me it's his birthday for the last month. Nobody does that with me. But anyways, Guy either is or he's going to be 80 years old. I think we could clap our hands one more time for him. Guy, thank you. I told him the other day, you know, Guy used to work here. And he had told me, I don't know how many years ago, that he wanted to quit and retire. And I said, no. I don't know. I got another 3-4 years out of him. And I told him the other night, I said, look at you. You're 80. You could have still been working, Guy. Instead, I got to put up with guys like Chris Buziak and... Oh, now, Guy, we love you. We thank God for you. And Carol, you're just an amazing couple. You've made our lives better in every way, shape, and form. And we thank God for you so much. I got to tell the story about Guy and Carol because some of you have heard it, some of you haven't. When we first started working on the building, Guy shows up. I didn't know who he was. And I said to Kathy, I said, who's that guy? She said, that's Guy. I go, no, who is that guy? She goes, his name is Guy. He used to work here when it was a theater like 100 years ago. And he was just chipped in working. And then when we got everything done, Kathy said, well, don't you think we ought to hire him? And I'm thinking, well, okay. So we hired Guy. It was the greatest thing. He and Carol, and I might have some of the years off, but I'm going to say it the way I want it because I'm the one saying it. They had been divorced for, it was over 20 years. I can't hear you, so you got to shake your head. Yes. They had been divorced and separated, and Carol has been coming to church. And I find out that they weren't married, but that they'd been seeing one another. And I said to Carol one day, I said, Carol, if you and Guy think you ever get back together again, just let me know. I'd love to marry you. Oh, no, that's never going to happen. Oh, just like some of you other ladies that go through that. Never again. I love it when people say that. And I sat there, okay. And one Sunday, I heard that Guy and Carol wanted to meet with me right after church. I knew what was going on. And I went up in my office. There's Guy, kind of looking the way he is right now. He's kind of head down, a real statesman-like. Carol's looking the way she is right now, a little uptight. I go, so what's up? Carol looks at me. She goes, well, Guy has something to tell you. You know, now, if you know Carol, she's always in control, almost. And I looked at her and I said, no, Carol, I want to hear it from you. She said, Guy asked me to marry him. And I said, yes. And so they got married. How many years ago was that now? Is that like 14? 15? Man, you guys, you're doing good. God bless you. So happy birthday, Guy. Happy anniversary. Take it. Be blessed today. We love you so much. One more hand clap for Guy and Carol Young today. We love you. As I said, this coming Thursday, Shani and I will be sharing for a little bit on the missions trip to Bali, and I hope you can be here to be a part of that. I want to share something with you just for a few minutes this morning, and it won't be long. If you'd pray with me one more time, Father, thank you for your grace, your love, and the help that you are to every one of us. May you be honored and glorified in Jesus' name today. And everyone said amen. If you have your Bible and you want to look at one scripture verse in Matthew 24, verse 37 with me, I'm just so intrigued with the time frame that we are in right now. And Jesus talks about what is going to happen just before he returns. And the Bible says that the gospel would be preached to every nation, to every, literally it means to every people group. And that is being happened now in a faster measure than ever before with satellite and internet and social media. Things are moving at a pace like it's never happened. And with that taking place, I'm convinced that God has given you and I, in particular, every one of us, a role in the season that we are in. And Jesus says this in Matthew 24, 37. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And if we want to know what that is, we got to look at the story of Noah and learn that during that season, there was just so much wickedness on the face of the earth that God said, I'm going to wipe the earth out. I'm sorry I made man. I'm sorry I created the earth, and he wants to destroy everything on it. And Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be of the coming of the Son of Man. That in the day that Jesus returns, and he is going to return for all of those who call upon his name, all of those who have made him Lord and Master of their life. That doesn't mean that you're perfect, but it does mean at some point in your life that you recognize that Jesus came into the earth, he lived, he died, he gave his life for you, he was buried, he rose again from the grave, and he lives in heaven now. And the Bible says that you must be born again. And how do you do that? With your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Christ is Lord. And that's where it begins. And from that, he takes you on a journey and begins to change your life. And so he's coming again. The Bible says he'll come. One will be working in the field and another one will be in the home. One will be taken, another will be left. It's an amazing story of what will happen in that time when Jesus returns to this earth. The Bible says, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds. That's where we get the word rapture from, that you'll be taken away. I don't know. We sing an old song, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, but he will be coming soon. And he will be coming. And the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. In Genesis chapter 6, it describes the days of Noah. It says, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that the very inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. Now, I don't know if that's necessarily true for the time that we're in, but we are living in a time and in an age like we've never seen before. And the Bible goes on to say that the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I'm going to wipe out mankind, whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals, creatures, and move along the ground, and the birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. And then all of a sudden, this happens. He says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. One man, instead of ending it all, God says, I found a person who took seriously the fact that he could make a difference in this world. Someone who would stand up and say, Lord, here I am, use me. Someone who wouldn't blend in to the culture, but would stand up. Someone who would stand out and say, I'm not going to be a part of everything else that is going on, but I'm going to stand up and stand out. And not in a menacing way, not in a weird way, but in a way that draws people to Christ, not pushes them away. Did you hear that? Instead of us saying, God, do something, he is saying, I have given you my power. I have placed my spirit inside of you. I have given you convictions and passions in your heart so that you and I can make a difference. And I believe with all of my heart that God has equipped us to make a difference. In Acts chapter 13, 36, the Bible says that when David had served God's purposes in his own generation, he fell asleep. He went to sleep. He didn't, who he was, his body died, but who he was just slept and he woke up in heaven. And that's what God calls you and I to do, to make a difference. And he starts by saying that we can make a difference to those who are closest to us. Genesis 7 verse 1, and I'm so glad for this. The Bible says that the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. The Bible says in Acts 16, 31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Paul was telling that Philippian jailer there that if he is saved, not just because he's saved, does automatically mean everybody in his house is saved, but the word household there is a Greek word, oikos, which means influence on the family and the circle of people that are around him. Do you see that? When you are saved, when your life has changed, when you pick up the purpose for what God has called you to, it begins to change your actions. Your convictions begin to change. And because of that, it has an effect on everybody who is around you. You can make a difference in your generation. Instead of us just letting our culture change us and influence us, we influence our culture. We become leaders. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 15, 19, you are to influence them, not to let them influence you. When my boys were all growing up, I would tell them, I would drive it into them. Being a leader is not you following everybody else. It's you leading and letting people follow your direction. The world is looking for people who will stand up and say, this is what's right. Come this way, follow this way. And we got a lot of people that are standing up and they're saying, hey, look at this, look at me, and wanting people to follow them. And it's leading our culture and our families and our generation in a direction that is wicked, that is evil, and it is destructive to our culture. Listen to me now. You know this. I need to say this. Because this is what I mean. This is a perfect picture. I do not hate gay people. I do not hate transgender people. But I cannot believe that our government would pander to less than 1% of people in this country and then say that if our public schools don't make it so young boys can go in the same bathroom as little girls, they're going to cut their funding off and they're going to pressure them into doing that. That, my friends, is wrong. And I'm not saying that anti those people. I'm not saying that because God loves humanity. But there is a small percentage of people that are clamoring, and because they're leading in a direction, people are simply following. Nobody can believe that that's healthy and good. No one. And God is calling you and I to have influence on them, not for them to influence us. Because we can be a difference maker, not only for that, for our generation, but for God as well. You say, well, you mean I can do something for God? Yes. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those who are is loyal to him. Or the New International Version says, those who are committed to him. Do you know that God is looking today for somebody that will stand up and say, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to be committed. I'm going to do what's right in the sight of God, and when we do that, he supernaturally touches down in your life and empowers you to be and to do what you never thought you could do or be. And people, they're serving. People right in this church have picked up that call. People that are next door that are in the big kids this morning. People that are upstairs in the jam. People that are working in the ministry, in the sound, the musicians, the singers. people that made coffee, people that worked all week to make this hour and 15-minute service possible for you and I today. Serving, giving, people that we saw last Thursday night, giving to people that they'd never met or seen before, making a difference. And I've said this before, and I've made it known a little bit, but I'm going to have a sign up before long. And some people have already committed. But God is looking for some people that will help plant another church on the other side of the city. Not people that will just give, well, okay, I can give this much. But he's looking for some people that will not only be givers here, but that will be givers there. 30 to 40 people that will stand up and say, hey, I'm willing to go and build relationships and meet people and get involved in families that are hurting, that are broken, that are dysfunctional. I'm willing to sow into that to make a difference. God is looking for people that will do that. And the Bible says, Jesus said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 2, he said, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. And we need to move from that place where we look at 10% of the people that pay and work to do everything, while 90% never engage in it because they're afraid of something. In Ezekiel, he says, I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. He said, but I found not one. And I wonder, why is that? Why is it that people say no? And we're going to close with these four little thoughts today. Number one, it's because people are afraid of their past. They're afraid that somebody's going to find something out about them, what they did or who they were, or a failure that happened in their life. And I wanted to tell you today that Jesus has come for the sole purpose of restoring you, of healing you, of making you into something that God says he's not only forgive you, he's not only forgiven you, but he's put you back together and made you so that you can make a difference. He not only does that, but he says, not only does he do all these things, but he says, now I want you to stand up after you're restored, and I want you to tell somebody else, hey, follow me as I follow Christ. He did it for me. He can do it for you. He saved me. He can save you. He put my family back together. He can do it for you. He helped me to quit drinking. He can help you to stop using drugs and doing things that keep you trapped in a lifestyle that will destroy your life and your family. He can do that. And the Bible says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And I just want to come alongside of you today and be the encourager of the brethren today, to tell you that you're going to make it. Tell you that you're doing better than you think. Tell you, don't back down. Don't back up. Don't back out. He has got a plan for you today to use you and to bless you and to release you into his purpose. And the Bible says in Romans 11:29, and I love how the Message Bible says it, that God's gifts and God's call are under full warranty, never canceled, never rescinded. You may be here today. Maybe you were in a place in your life where God was using you and you went through a tough spot. Let me tell you, he hasn't changed his mind about you. Did you hear me today? I said he hasn't changed his mind. You've got to let go of the past so it can let go of you. And God wants to use you. Maybe you're here today and you're afraid of the crowd. Maybe that's what's keeping you. You may worry too much about what the wrong people think about you. Did you hear that? You know, because the reality of it is we have a half of a half of a half of a percent of people that are more worried about what our past was than what we are. And sometimes we have this propensity to get all wound up in the negativity that what the crowd may be saying about you. But here, can I tell you today, there's no crowd that is against you. There is a crowd today that is for you, to help you to make a difference. Not to be weird, but to be who God has called you to be. I said this I was sharing the story in the first service. When we were in Bali, the last day we had a few hours to go shopping together, and I happened to connect up with Shandy and a couple others, and she had a friend with her there from, I don't know, she was from Missouri somewhere. And we were walking down this little market outside. It was in this, long, tent area. It was probably from here long to St. Jerome's Hospital. I'm walking in, and these women, and there's only two men on this whole trip with all these women. I thought, God, what have I done? And so I'm in there, and these women start going in, and it's like you walk in there, they come here, come, sir, come, try this. Oh, this look good on you. And I'm not talking about 5 or 10. I'm talking about 500. And in this tent, it's so hot, hell wouldn't even go in there. I mean, it is hot. It is the hottest thing. And these women, they're not just looking. They've got to touch everything. They got to pull it out. They got to listen to these other people talk to them in a language they don't even know. And they're there like, they know what they're saying. Yeah, these are nice. Oh, yes. And I'm like, we're going to be here until next month. You got to hurry up. They said, well, you can go. I go, okay. So, you know, in 10 minutes, I walked through there, saw everything I needed to see, like a good man shopping. Come on, men, are you with me on that? I mean, I saw everything. I don't know what's taking them so long. And I came back, and here these girls are. There's a little boy in one of these little areas, and he's throwing up in a bucket. Now, me, it's over 100 in this thing. It's hot. It's humid. I mean, it's hot. These girls, they walk over. These are Hindus. They're Muslims. They're people we don't even know. And they're saying, can we pray for your little boy? You know what I've always learned? That when somebody is really up against it, they want the true power of God being displayed in their life. And you know what them women said? Yes, please. Here's Shandy and Chantel. They're over there praying for this little boy who's throwing up in a bucket, and they get done praying. The little boy looks up with a big smile. He stops throwing up. Pretty soon, another one of the ladies who's a vendor there, she says, pray for me. And here they go over here, and I'm thinking, Lord, couldn't it be air conditioned in here right now? It's so hot in here. And they're praying. They get done praying for her. Another lady's over there, you pray for me. I've got this wrong. They're having revival among these Muslims and Hindus. They were not afraid of the crowd. And God was using them. Come on. And God was using them in there. I mean, they prayed for 15 people. And I'm like, okay, God, this is really good. But man, it's hot in here. Now, you may think I'm not spiritual. Okay. It was hot in there. And they're praying for these people, and people are smiling at them. And I'm telling you, we could have stayed in there for hours because they weren't afraid of the crowd. And Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord, he is kept safe. Amen. If you're going to be a difference maker, you're going to have to be more concerned about obeying God than looking foolish. And I'm telling you, we didn't have on dress clothes. We are soaked with sweat and smell. But God is moving in the midst of it. If you're going to be a difference maker, you can't be afraid of taking the first step. You know, when I thought of this, I thought of my grandkids. I love my grandbabies. I have 5. And we have a hot tub at our house outside, and I love it when they come over and they're all going to get into it. And you know, my oldest, Gabe, he'll just belly flop right into it. And the other girls, they'll get in. Jamin will get in a little slow. But then it comes Ryan. He's a little slower. But then when it comes to Andrew, he wants to sit up on the end. And Bobby, hold me. And he wants to put his toes in there. He just wants to feel it a little bit. He's afraid of taking that first step. He can't see the bottom because it's bubbling, you know. He doesn't know what's underneath there. And he's just putting his feet in there. And even though everybody in there is telling him, come on in, Andrew, it's okay, he said, no, I'm going to sit on the edge up here. And I think about that with people. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11:7 that by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, Not yet seen. And some of you, you're afraid of God using you because you can't see what may happen. You want to control everything of the outcome. And God says, if you're going to really trust in him, you're not going to see what's under that water. You're going to have to put your feet all in there and trust him. And when you do, you get all the benefit of what he has for you. Noah, when being warned about things not yet seen in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. And by his faith, he condemned the world because of the error, became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. I don't have to see. I love the song this morning. I don't have to see to believe that you're lifting me up on your shoulders. That God is working some things out. And you cannot be afraid to take that first step. Man, I remember the first time that I went on a missions trip. I remember the first time that I was put into a group of people. A few years ago, we had these man time men conferences. And Chris Buzniak had just gotten saved. And he was sharing his testimony around a little in the church. And I said, hey, Chris, I want to take you to this men's meeting. I want you to share your testimony. He goes, okay. Well, he goes up there. It's at the Adams Mark Hotel. There's 800-900 men in there. He walks in there, and he looks at me, Pastor Murray, I don't know if I can do this. I go, oh, you can do it. It's nothing. I don't know. And little did I know that night, he said he was going to run. And I went to find him, and he was hiding out a little bit. I said, come on. He said, I don't know. And I knew he was shuddering all the time. But he went up, and he shared his testimony. And because of the work that God had done in his life, it set other people's lives free. Let me tell you something. That was the night that he put his toes in the water. Not just his toes, but he put his whole body in the water. And God used him in a powerful way. And that was the moment that God released him into the greatest ministry call that he could ever believe that could happen in his life. Come on. Amen. And God, he wants to do the same thing. Maybe it's your time. And maybe it's your time for some of you to begin to be all in. Instead of you just putting your toes in and then pulling them out. You get excited one day and the next day it's all over. I'm not talking about today just being a Sunday message. I'm talking about this being a lifestyle message. You were called to make a difference. Maybe for some of you, it's a moment in your life to take a risk. You've never taken a risk. You've taken foolish. I'm not talking about shooting something in your arm or snorting something up your nose or putting something between your lips. I'm not talking about that kind of a risk. I'm talking about laying your life out there. And if God doesn't come through, you won't know what will be the end. For some of you, it's getting help. This is a moment in life that you need to consider it's time for you to get help. What you started thinking I can handle has gotten way out of control. And you're missing what God wants to use you for right in the end times that we're living in. And then for some of you, you need to know there's more for your life. There's much more for your life. It's like the kids sitting on the edge. Rufus, come up behind me. Help me. It's like the kids sitting on the edge. It's time for you to know there's more for your life. You've come a certain level, but now there's more. Some of you, it's time today for you to do that. For some of you, you need to know you can do it. And for some of you, you have to understand, you have to step out before you will ever find out. Time for you to get off the edge. My last point, I'm closing with this. Some of you, the reason that you don't want to move forward, you don't want to do that is because you're afraid of failure. Can I give you something that is concrete, that is for sure? God told his people in Genesis 9, he said, I placed my rainbow in the clouds as a sign of my promise until the end of time to you and all the earth, that God will never harm his people again. He made that clear when he sent Jesus into the world. Matthew 28:20, he says, be sure of this, I am with you always, right up until the end of time. Of your life. Come on, aren't you happy for that today? You ought to praise God. You ought to thank God for that today. Close your eyes with me and just one moment. We're gonna move on here. And You were called to make a difference. And who am I speaking to through this whole service this morning? I just have felt God, he's just creating this rumble in somebody's heart to move forward. I want the prayer people to come down, if you would, and just stand before me here today. If you've never given your heart to Christ, make that commitment. You can do it right where you're seated. You can say, Jesus, come into my heart. I ask you to be my Lord, my Savior, my Master. Forgive me of every sin I've ever committed. God's not mad at you today. He is for you. He wants to help you. For some of you, you've been living right at the edge. You've been wanting to move forward. You've been wanting to do something in fear. You're afraid of what somebody's going to think. You're afraid of the crowd. You're afraid of taking the first step. You're afraid of your past. God has made a provision for all of it. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to close in prayer, and then this morning, if anything I said, if you just need somebody to come up alongside of you and pray with you this morning, I want you to just come down. These people love you. They care for you. They're not here to criticize, condemn. They're here to pray with you and believe God for something great in your home and your family and your future. Some of you are right at the edge. Today is your day. Today is your moment. Whether that's giving your heart to Christ or it's taking that step, getting all in. Some of you need to get some help today. Maybe you've been struggling with some things. You need to speak with a counselor. That's not anti-Jesus. That's a gift from heaven. Maybe you need to get some help. Maybe you have anger issues. He wants to help you. Today's the start of it, though, that right now, I'm going to close in prayer, and then before you leave today, if you need somebody to pray with you, just step down here before you leave. Father, I just want to say thank you for your love and your grace today. I thank you for healing hearts and lifting up lives today. People matter. Lord, you have called and created such destiny for those who are here today. God, I pray blessing over your people as they rise up, as they walk in the way, as they lie down. May they be blessed greatly today. I pray in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen.